Blog Talk Radio.
Borrow money from pessimists. They don't expect it back.
You're listening to the Goldstein on Geld Show with financial expert Douglas Goldstein. This show is designed to give general information related to investing and finance. Neither Doug Goldstein, his guests, nor the radio station are rendering legal, tax, insurance, or specific financial advice. If you require such advice, contact a competent professional advisor. Before making any investment decisions based on what you heard during the show, please review the complete disclaimer located at www.goldsteinongeld.com. And now, here's your host, Money Maven, Doug Goldstein.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Goldstein on Geld Show. I'm Doug Goldstein. I really appreciate your being here. I appreciate your investing the time in an investment show. It's not totally an investment show. For those of you who are longtime listeners, you know that we've had fantastic guests, but not all of them are in the world of the economy. Some of them are chess world champions, some of them are comedians. We talk to high-tech heroes, and of course we do speak to money managers and lots of Nobel Prize winners. In fact, I'm excited. In just a few weeks, I'll be bringing on yet another Nobel Prize winner in economics onto the Goldstein on Geld Show. I'm pretty sure that we have interviewed now almost all of the Nobel Prize winners in economics who are still alive on the Goldstein on Geld Show. If you'd like to hear some of those interviews or just keep track of all of the interviews that we do, all of the interviews become videos, which we post on YouTube. So you can go to YouTube and just look up Goldstein on Geld, and you'll see all of the videos that we do there. And do me a favor, when you're there, sign up for the channel. You can actually subscribe to our YouTube channel. And if you do that, so every time a new video gets posted, and not all of them are the interviews, we actually also post videos related to investments that I do in other parts of my career, not just for the Goldstein on Geld Show. So you'll get a lot out of it. We've got a lot of people who have already signed up and subscribed at YouTube, and we've had well over 100,000 downloads of the various videos. So you'll be in very, very good company if you sign up. That's going to YouTube, and just search for Goldstein on Geld. You'll find the channel and click sign up there. All right, in just a minute, I'm going to tell you about our fantastic guests for today. Now let's hear from CPA Ron Zalbin with a tax tip on the Goldstein on Geld Show.
Hi, I'm Ron Zalbin, a U.S. and an Israeli CPA with the firm of Abu Lafia Avital & Sharansky, with offices in Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. I'm starting to get calls from clients who are receiving forms in the mail from the Social Security Administration regarding the Greenberg class action lawsuit. As I discussed in a previous podcast, Social Security Administration lost a lawsuit which requires them to exclude from the WEP calculation benefits taxpayers are receiving from Israeli Social Security, that is Bituach Lomi. The Social Security Administration has begun to send out a packet of information to affected individuals. I had a call earlier this week asking if this was a joke. It definitely is not. It is legitimate. You have a number of options that you can pursue, assuming that the court affirms the settlement. The first is to agree with the class action lawsuit. You will ask the Social Security Administration to conduct a settlement claim review. Any benefits you receive will be reduced by the lawyer fees that are awarded by the court. This means that you'll get back Social Security payments from September 3rd of 2004 if you're eligible. The second option is you can exclude yourself from the class action lawsuit. That means you'll get no benefits and your case will not be reviewed. If you do this, you do not give up any claims you may have to bring your separate lawsuit against the Social Security Administration. The third option is to object, and you can write to the court and tell them why you do not like the settlement. The fourth option is to ask the court that you can address the court speak about the fairness of the settlement. If you object or go to the hearing, that means you are still part of a class action lawsuit. You just wish to have your voice heard. And last, you could do nothing. If you do nothing, you are still part of the class action lawsuit. However, you must contact Social Security Administration in order for them to review your file. If you do not do that, they will not do that. If you have any comments or questions, feel free to email me at ron@abulafia.co.il.
Thanks so much, CPA Ron Zalbin, for today's Goldstein on Geld Tax Tip. Hey, it's Doug Goldstein back here again. I hope in the past few seconds you took a minute to go to YouTube.com and search for Goldstein on Gelt and subscribe to our channel there so that every time we post a great new video, you'll be sure to get a copy of it, or you'll be sure to be told about it so you can take a look yourself. People love those videos. You know what they also love? They love the interviews on the Goldstein on Gelt show. Today, I'll be talking in the first half to Ryan Hoover, who is the founder of an amazing website called producthunt.com. Frankly, I never thought I would be so interested in such a website, but when I started trying it out, preparing for this interview, it was almost addictive. What it is it lists all the top ideas in technology that are out now, and you just click on them and learn about them. And frankly, just by looking at them, I've adopted a number of new apps or websites that I've started to use in my own life and my own business, and they're great. So we'll be talking to Ryan in just a minute. And in the second half of the show, be sure you stay tuned. I'll be speaking with a woman who is probably the world's foremost expert in the financing of terrorism. Her name is Loretta Napoleoni. I've heard her speak on many occasions. She's got some great books about the economics behind the terror organizations. I think it'll be fantastic to hear her insights right here on the Goldstein on Gelt show. Stay tuned.
Want to become a better investor? Find out the strategies that you need by reading Doug Goldstein's best-selling book, which he wrote with world chess champion Susan Polgar, Rich as a King, How the Wisdom of Chess Can Make You a Grandmaster of Investing, www.richasaking.com.
Okay, we are back. I'm very happy to have on the Goldstein on Gelt show Ryan Hoover, who's the founder of this kind of funky website called Product Hunt. Ryan, can you tell us what is Product Hunt all about?
Yeah, Product Hunt is a site to discover the latest in technology. So new mobile apps, new websites, new technology products, they're submitted by the community and upvoted. So you have this kind of curated list of what's new and interesting in the world.
Okay, so I have to comment, having sort of jumped onto the site, I often like to visit the sites of the guests I have on the show. And as usual, I checked out your site and I thought, oh, I'll just, you know, look at it for a couple of minutes and see what it's about. I have to tell all the listeners, if you are going to take a look at Product Hunt, you have to allot at least a half an hour, maybe an hour, because it is so absorbing, all of the different topics. So, Ryan, tell us a little bit, how does it work? What do people see when they get to your site?
Yeah, so the way it works is it's not too dissimilar from kind of a similar model to Reddit or Hacker News or other community-generated sites. So it's very simple. People submit links to a new product, whether, like today, for example, Kong is a new app that launched. There's Picnic, which is this website where you can create a website, register a domain in 5 minutes. There's even this ambient backlight for your TV or monitor that was posted earlier today. And these are all submitted by people in the community that visit Product Hunt on a daily basis, many of them. And then people upvote what they think is the coolest or most interesting or useful for them. And so each day you have this breakdown of what's hot in technology. And the other interesting aspect is within that, you see a discussion about these products. And oftentimes the maker of those products are in there answering questions and kind of telling a backstory of the product and where it came from and where they're going. So there's this interesting conversation that you don't really see elsewhere in other networks or other communities.
So tell me about this concept of upvoting as opposed to downvoting.
Yeah, so there's, unlike Reddit, you can upvote and downvote. And that works for them. For us, we've just stuck with one mechanic. There's one action you can take, and that's upvoting. It's expressing some interest in a product by clicking a button. And we wanted to, one, keep it simple, but also we wanted to avoid any possible negativity or issues with competitors downvoting other people, for example. Since this is about products and there's naturally going to be some competitive tension between other people building products, we wouldn't want to create an environment that would cause that kind of negativity or issues down the road.
Okay. I also think just from, I thought it was sort of a virtue kind of idea that you have, which is people on the web, because it's anonymous, will so often be so happy just to say negative things, and there's no concept of compassion in the world anymore. I thought you were just trying to leave that off the table, and, you know, the good will float to the top as they get upvoted, and the bad will just settle down a little bit, but I like your model anyway.
Yeah.
Ryan, one of the things that you've, I mean, this is not your first touching of a startup. Where do you see yourself in the world of startups?
Where do I see myself? Well, so I'm 28 years old. I've been through two other startups before this, both in the video gaming space. And I worked in marketing in the very beginning, but then quickly moved on to product management. So that's my kind of professional background. For me, I've always been into startups, but even before that, more into just creating things, whether it's like building my own computer or selling, candy at my dad's video game store, like through gumball machines when I was a preteen. Just there was always these entrepreneurial things that I enjoyed doing. So I've always been interested in this space. And so naturally, product hunting is one of those things that appeals to me. And it's one of the reasons why, it's something that I built. It's something that I love to do is find new things, talk to entrepreneurs, talk to creators, and kind of understand the backstory and more about what they're building.
We're talking with Ryan Hoover, who's the founder of this very cool site called Product Hunt, which, as he's been describing to us, is a community-driven site that allows people to learn about new technology and new websites and new apps that are available. But more than talking about the site, Ryan, what I'd like to dive into now is how you run a company. How do you develop systems? And I want to give you the background. The reason I'm asking this is because on the Goldstein on Geld show, we often talk to people and about situations where everyone tends to do things haphazardly. They go, mm-hmm. Oh, I got a great idea. And I've noticed, especially with failing entrepreneurs, they have a lot of great ideas, but they don't know how to implement it. And the same thing happens with failing investors. As my day job as an investment advisor, I often mm-hmm. talk to people and they understand stocks and bonds and mutual funds and they like the idea of financial planning. But when push comes to shove, they'll like just buy something that their friend tells them about without really thinking about how to do it. So I'm right. curious, from your perspective as an entrepreneur, how do you approach a new idea?
Interesting question. Well, I mean, there are different methodologies or ways of approaching product building. And, a lot of people in startups are adopting more of a lean kind of process and validating ideas and invalidating ideas very early through tests and whatnot. And that's become more commonplace, I guess. That's really important. But one thing that I think people maybe they underestimate oftentimes is building a great product is tough, but oftentimes getting attention for a great product is even harder. And what I mean by that is today there's so much being created, whether let's just say it's a mobile photo sharing app or something in that space. There are hundreds of those, if not thousands of those apps created every single day. And getting attention and finding an audience that will even take 2 seconds to look at your app is really difficult. So I would always look at, okay, first figure out what you're building. I can go on and on about that entire process and how I think about that. But then also think about, okay, once you build it, how are you going to get people to actually find out about it? How are you going to get the word out?
Let's break that down. Let's start with what you said and figure out what you're building. And the comparison that I would make a lot is when I talk to clients about figuring out why they're investing. It's often mm-hmm. funny to me, or I don't know, funny or a little bit sad. I'll sit with a widow. She was married for 50 years. And, her husband passed away and they have a portfolio filled with stocks. So I say to her, well, what are you looking to invest in? And she mm-hmm. says, well, my husband always bought stocks and that's what I want to keep doing, even though she has no idea. And I asked the same question, kind of what you said, is to, can you help me figure out why you're investing? Because she doesn't need the stock market. She needs safety. So how do you figure out why you're following one path as opposed to another when someone asks you, well, tell me the fundamental why?
Yeah. Well, similar to that, it's very sexy to be a founder or a CEO or build your own startup. And I see a lot of people pursue that. And it's great. I want to encourage people to create. But at the same time, it's some people do it for the wrong reason, I believe. They do it because it's cool. And, starting a startup, raising money, once you go down that path, it's difficult and it's not for everyone. And it's also something you need to be very conscientious of. Like, it's a big decision to make. So anyway, that's another maybe tangent. I think there's things that I do in that product hunt for me is very much based in what I've been doing to an extent in the past before Product Hunt, and also what I'm very interested in, startups, technology, products, and that kind of thing. So for me, I left the previous startup that I was at because I wanted to build something for myself and something that I wanted to use. I was working in the gaming space, building tools for mobile game developers, which I'm not. And I just wanted to work on something that I personally would use. Mm-hmm. And so, it's almost cliche to say, but it's a lot more motivating when you're the consumer. It's also a lot easier to have empathy because you are the consumer. So I think it's one place I would look if you're wanting to start something is, you know, what types of problems do you want to solve, or what things are you doing already in a particular space that you'd enjoy working in?
Certainly, as it relates to you, I remember a few years ago, I'm what's called a CFP, a Certified Financial Planner, and one of the tests that I have to take to maintain my license is an ethics exam. We have to take it every 2 years, and frankly, it's not the most interesting, and the companies that offer them I just found was difficult to deal with, and they were expensive. And so one day I said to myself, you know something, I'll just start a company that teaches the ethics exam to other financial planners, and I did, and we ended up becoming very successful because we followed this very, very niche market. And like you said, it was based on something that I personally needed, so I decided to build it. I think that, and I also like something else you said, maybe you can just comment on it, is you seem to have an idea about what you wanted to build. And a lot of times you meet people, it's not that they have the idea, they say, I want to start a company. And the first thing they say is, how am I going to get investors, rather than how am I going to come, you know, build the idea? Have you found that? And, you know, which is the right way to go?
Yeah, and investors are a means to an end, and they're important for some people. They're important for some companies like Product Hunt. We need money. We can't bootstrap this business to turn it into what we believe it can be in the future. And so investors are critical to our success. But for not for everyone, sometimes a bootstrapped approach or self-funded approach is better. One thing that also is worrisome in some cases is people build for investors, and they don't necessarily build for their target market or their consumer. And they start either making shortcuts or in some cases with poor investors that exert too much of their own opinion, they start taking their feedback as if the investor is the customer when that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah, so, I think actually looking at it from the other side is also critical, because a lot of times people invest as friends and family or angels or, you know, some sort of, or they're non-professional investors, but they love the idea of getting into a sexy startup. And what they don't necessarily realize is that the guy who runs the startup, he's good at raising money and he's not good at running the company necessarily. And there are people I've seen who are serial entrepreneurs, and all they do is they raise money, they blow it, and they raise more money from other unsuspecting people. So I think from an investment standpoint, you got to be real careful about putting in lots of money into something, you know, that you may not understand, which is why, I hear that Product Hunt is, you know, maybe looks for new rounds of funding, but so often people, it's just all about raising the money and paying themselves a salary until they can, you know, either have a miracle or not, and then just, you know, go on to the next project.
Yeah, and the other thing is fundraising is, again, a path. It's a strategic decision. It's not success by any means. So, you know, when you announce that Series A, it's really exciting. People tweet at you. They congratulate you. The press writes about you. It feels good naturally, but at the same time, you have to remind yourself and your team that this actually is just a small little marker of our long journey, our several-year journey, and this does not mean that people – that we built a good product ultimately. It doesn't mean that people are using our product or they want our product. And you have to remind yourself that.
Well, I certainly think people are going to want your product. So, Ryan, in the last minute, just tell us a little bit more about how people can follow you, follow Product Hunt, and where you're going.
Yeah. So I'm on Twitter. I am on Twitter all the time, command tabbing to TweetDeck. So you can reach me pretty easily on Twitter at rrhoover. And I also occasionally write on either Medium or my own blog at ryanhoover.me. And then Product Hunt, of course, is producthunt.com. We actually just launched our 2.0 version of our iOS app last week. And very soon, we're actually making an announcement for some big product changes that we're making. We haven't yet shared any details, but shortly after this episode airs, I think you'll see something exciting from us.
All right. Well, we will certainly look forward to that. Now I'm really hesitant about whether I want to download the app, because I know it'll just tie me down for hours and hours. But in any event, though, Ryan, we will put links to all of that at the show notes of today's show at goldsteinungelt.com. We've been talking to Ryan Hoover, the founder of Product Hunt. Check it out at producthunt.com. Ryan, thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, thanks, Doug.
If you like Doug Goldstein's weekly piece in the Jerusalem Post, you'll love the free information that's available on his blog at www.profileperspectives.com. Sign up now and get emails every time he posts a new article. Go to www.profileperspectives.com.
At the beginning of the show, if you didn't get the hint, I was encouraging you to go to YouTube, search for Goldstein on Gelt, and then sign up to subscribe to our channel. But I want to tell you why I think you'll like that. One of the areas that I look at in determining what kind of guests to have and who to bring back on the show is which interviews are the most popular. The most popular interview we've done in the show has been with a memory expert, a fellow named Harry Lorraine. Now, I started reading Harry's books over 20 years ago. The first one I picked up was when I was in yeshiva. It was a book called Page... What was it called? I can't remember. No, I'm just kidding. It was a memory book, and it was called Page a Minute Memory by Harry Lorraine. So after reading that book, I changed the way I studied and learned, and I was able to memorize a deck of cards, not just one deck of cards, but two decks of cards together. I was able to do all sorts of not just party tricks, but because I was still in school, I was able to change the way I learned in order to memorize things. So it turns out I have now discovered people are desperate to understand how to learn new ideas. Maybe what we'll do is we'll put a link to that book, Page a Minute Memory, at the show notes of today's show at goldsteinongelt.com, just to encourage you to listen to it. And what we'll also do is we'll put a link at the show notes to the interview that I did with Harry Lorraine. I did not only one interview with him, but two, and I think you'll really enjoy listening to them, as thousands and thousands of other people have. The point is, if you sign up for the YouTube channel, you'll get to hear some great ideas, and you can scan back and see some of the other people that we've had the opportunity to interview. Okay, so that's wrapping up part one of today's show. In the second half of today's show, I'll be speaking to Loretta Napoleoni, who is an expert in terrorism and money. She's investigated in depth, quite frankly, it sounds a little bit scary what she's done. She's investigated how the terror organizations fund themselves and really what's the economics behind these organizations. And I think you'll have a great time. And please put down on your calendar that next week I'll be interviewing a Nobel Prize winner in economics, Vernon Smith. He won his prize in 2002. And we'll be talking to him about what that was all about. For those of you who have been listening to the Goldstein on Gelt show now and maybe even keeping tabs, you'll note that we've spoken to almost all of the living Nobel Prize winners in economics to get their ideas, and it is always, always fascinating. So I hope you'll be sure to tune in next week to listen to that show, and of course, stay tuned for part two. I'll be bringing on Loretta Napoleoni and giving you a few more financial ideas.
You're listening to international investment advisor Doug Goldstein on the Goldstein on Gelt show. Stay tuned for part two of the show. This show is designed to give general information related to investing and finance. Neither Doug Goldstein, his guests, nor the radio station are rendering legal, tax, insurance, pension, or specific investment advice. If you need such advice, contact a licensed advisor before making any investment decisions. Please review the complete disclaimer at www.goldsteinongelt.com.